Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you all. I'm glad to be back. I love these small country churches. Was this church ever continually at one time? You know, they had a pastor for the whole time, or is it just in the summer up here?
There's never been a full-time pastor.
Never been a full-time pastor. Well, I was just curious. Okay, our call to worship is number 367 in our hymn books. And we can stand and sing 367. And I'll let you all kind of start so I'm getting the right tune. There is
a church in the valley by the wildwood, now a lovely spot in the dale. Those places so dear to my childhood as the little round church in the
church. I've been here many years and many people come through it, and we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with us today. Bless our service in all aspects. May it go well. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me see. Okay, we'll have a chance for you to pick a few hymns that you might like to sing. Anybody have any favorites? Yes.
Excuse me. 487, Amazing Grace.
Okay. 487, Amazing Grace.
First and last.
Oh, good. 487, let me get there.
Save the rest.
favorite. Yes, ma'am.
289, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, you know.
First and last.
Because of God's grace that we get to know Him, we're saved, and it's because of Blessed Assurance that He stays with us. What stanza do you want to do?
One, first and last.
Okay. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, born in His goodness, lost in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you. Another favorite.
455, My Country 'Tis of Thee.
455. Let's try and get to it.
1 and 4, please.
455, 1 and 4. Okay, here we go.
My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims high, from every mountain side, let freedom ring.
Guess we'll have one more. Yes, ma'am.
Joy to the World, number 88.
88, Joy to the World, 88.
First verse.
Just first.
Okay. Okay, well, I know that anyway. Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Now it's time for any prayer requests that you might have, and wait a minute, my pen out here. Here we go. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Today's grandparents day. I want to wish everybody here and we have the happy grandfather. Happy grandparents day. And I just want to say I wish that we bless all our children and grandchildren on this nice day.
Okay, any others? Yes, ma'am.
I would like to praise God for the recent blessings that He's bestowed upon myself and my husband during this recent
Okay, and what was your name, ma'am?
David.
David?
David and Ham Searles.
David and Ham. David and Ham?
Pam.
Pam, I got it. Not Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
David and Pam, okay. Okay, another one. Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Sidney Schumann, who died a couple of days ago. She's lived a full life, a lovely lady, and I was with her at the marriage of her nephew about a week ago, so she was fine. Goes to show, you don't know when it's coming.
You never know, okay. So what's a prayer for her family?
Yeah.
Sidney's family, okay.
Her husband Stan, too.
Okay, Stan. Okay. Yes, sir, ma'am.
I'd like to praise God that tonight we will be celebrating the 45th anniversary of the evening hymn sing in this church.
Oh.
45 years of having the September hymn sing. So.
Oh, that's tonight here?
I know it's kind of a dreary day, but I'm hoping to see a couple of these faces again at 7 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
I'll be here.
I'll be there.
Okay.
We'll brighten it up.
We didn't know the Christmas carols.
Okay.
That's great. We're good.
Okay. Anybody else before we pray? I think we need to pray for our nation. I think everybody knows that and everything that's going on. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray that some pianist decides that this is a good place to be.
For
Sunday afternoons and the hymns and like.
Okay. Yes.
I'd like to pray for all the farmers of our region, for the crop that's been very, very compromised this year, for all our livestock and our abundance and our bounties to come through before November 1st.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I was over in upstate New York this past summer. There's great weeks teaching at Camp Shoshana, which is a Messianic Jewish camp, teaching the youth. And we had a lot of rain. Did that come here too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it probably 6 or 7 hours before you did. And then that's what I figured. I live in Liberty, and I'm right in the exact same latitude as the camp I was working at this summer, probably about the same elevation. So. Yeah, it's been a rainy year, and we just got a little summer here the last few days. So, yeah, I'll pray for the farmers and their crops, because I know it hurt a lot of them, some of them anyway. One last call. Okay, and I'm going to just keep praying. I'm taking a trip down to Georgia here in about a month. My missions have a conference actually in San Antonio, Texas, but. You know, I'm going to Georgia first, meet some friends, and go with them to Texas. So that, and all my family lives down. They all decide to go south, and I stay north. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. But I like it here, and the cold doesn't bother me too much here. I lived in Alaska for 4 years. So. How about 75 below? You ever get that here? You have? Yeah, it was cold. But anyhow, Lord let me work up there for 4 years in the bush. I mean, in the bush, more bushy than you are here. You know, you're pretty bushy here in all the woods. I loved it, though. It was what God wanted me. Anyhow, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and pray. Then, Lord, we just thank you for our grandparents. We just pray for them today and their families. And you just praise God for them. I think of David and Pam. We'll lift them up to you in prayer. That you bless them as well. I also want to take time to lift up Sidney. And we just pray that you'll help him as well, and you know, with the loss of a loved one. Think of the hymn sing tonight. I just pray to bless that, and I pray it goes well, and you have a good number of people here. And Lord, we pray again that in your time you'll provide a pianos for this church. We think of the farmers and what's going on with them. Lord, it's kind of been a tough summer with all the rain and then the intensive heat we've had for the last week. So just pray for them that they'll be able to get the crops out and do what they try to do here, keep our economy and everything going here in Maine. So we do pray for them, and just pray for the family, or Sydney's family, that you'll be with them as well, Lord, in this time of wars. And we thank you for this church, Lord. We just pray to continue to bless here. And as I hear different people come in every week, it's kind of nice, different, but it's nice. So we just pray to help this to grow, and that you bring people here that you want to come and share. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I also would ask for help as I travel down to Georgia, perhaps about a month, and that I have a good, safe trip. And so I speak in a couple of churches that'll go well too, Lord. So I ask all these things, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I hope I didn't miss anybody, but. All right. So we had a hand. The Lord's Prayer we got to do. Let's go ahead and do that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, there's a song after here. I'm not sure I know it as well as you do, so I'm going to let you all go ahead and start it. Surely in the presence. Lord, we just pray for this offering that will be used to enhance the kingdom. You know, be with the folks in this church as they give, and I just pray that the church will have the funds they need to keep going. So bless this offering now in your name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all His creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Scripture reading, if you can come up and read the scriptures today, just two verses that I chose to kind of give us a little foundation for what we're talking about today. And if you can turn your Bibles to Psalm 22:8 and Psalm 37:23.
Let's see here. Psalm 22:8. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then from Psalm 37:23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
He makes us firm, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Steps of a man ordered by the Lord. It's really good to remember. Okay, we're going to go ahead and sing as before. The message this morning, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, 480. Looks like it's in the book. Let's turn to 480. And if you'd like to stand, if you're able to, that'd be fine. I've got to find it here first. 480. Okay, why don't we go ahead and stand with ready? Okay, here we go.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us in our sleep with our tender care. In the blessed pasture, lead us for our kinsmen close prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast
second one.
We are ten of common friends, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock in the field and us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus,
compasses, probably abused it a few times. And what I want to look at today, just briefly, is how our life is kind of like a compass in God's sight. Okay, I'm going to try and read these as best I can as we go along here. Well, I've used a compass a number of times. Got me out of trouble once, or twice, maybe thrice. But anyway, it's a little instrument you use, you put in your pocket. I got this I think it was a pen or something that had a compass on it. And you could, you know, put that in your pocket and have it right there, and it would lead you to wherever you needed to go. So a compass is important. You know, it always gives us accurate directions which way we can go. You know, in the same sense, God has a compass for us. He has things that he wants you to do. And the question is, are you willing to do the things he wants you to do? And he has a plan for every one of your lives. I was talking in another church about spiritual gifts. He has a spiritual gift for everybody here. And you get it by looking for it and what other people see in you. We have a lady at our church that's very much a helps person. Whenever we need to go somewhere or have something, she's there to help us get there. She has the gift of help. And in Romans, there's a passage there in chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, that talks about different kinds of gifts that are available today. And the thing is here is, well, what are these gifts and how do we find out about them? You know, what is God's compass for me as an individual? Yeah, what does he want me to do? He must have some type of plan for my life. I'm here for a reason. And he has a plan for each of our lives. And the way, you know, we can say this to the God's word, the Bible, and I believe it's God's word. You know, some believe it contains the word of God. Others believe it becomes the word of God. But I have to believe it is the word of God because Jesus himself said that this was his word. Okay? And we all believe in Jesus. He's an historical figure and there's historical facts to back him up. And we know who he is and we believe who he is. So as we do that, if he says something, then we got to realize that it's true because he's God's son, Jesus Christ. I had a person heard a story once where somebody was mocking Jonah and the whale. A story came to me, I think Jack Wortson told us that, you know, he was at Word of Life, if any of you are familiar with Word of Life. But anyhow, he shared one day how there was this college professor, this lady, you know, a young college student and college professor, and they were on a bus going somewhere. And she was reading her Bible, and a college professor was next to her and said to her, "You believe that book?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, how could Jonah be swallowed by a whale?" And it actually wasn't a whale, it was a fish that God prepared. And she said, "Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask Jonah when I get to heaven." And then she asked, he asked, "Well, what if he's not in heaven?" Then I guess you'll have to ask him. You know, and I think about that. That's kind of the way we are at times. Now, you see here Jack Wortson, who's the director and founder of Word of Life over in New York, all around the world now, talk about that, you know, and give that illustration. Even Jesus said Jonah was a real person. Adam was a real person. All these people that we question, Jesus affirmed that they were real. So if we believe Jesus and we trust him, is he lying that Adam didn't exist or we came from monkeys? Or is he telling the truth? You know, Adam was the first Adam and Jesus the second Adam, you know? So those are things that we need to be aware of in our life. Well, the Lord not only establishes our steps in advance, he's pleased with us when we follow the pathway that he has ordained for us. He leads us where we've never been before. I was never in 75 below weather. But that's where God led me. And up there in Alaska, I was pastoring a small church, McGrath Community Church, and I was working with Youth for Christ with the youth in the area. And it got that cold once, you know. Even my heater stopped working until a friend came over and got it. It was a drip oil. Maybe some of you know about a drip oil type heater where it just drips in there. You know, but that was cold. I was inside, it was 0 degrees inside my little cabin. You know, I had a lot of blankets, you know, in a down sleeping bag. You know, things that you would all know about, keep warm up here. But, you know, that's the way, you know, but I knew I was where God wanted to be. I remember one time I went outside and I threw some water up in the air and it came down asleep. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. I guess it can get cold enough here to do that once in a while. But it was just, you know, up goes the water and comes asleep. And it was just a cup of water. You know, these are type of experiences I got because the Lord led me to Alaska and he wanted me to be there for 4 years to work with the youth in this village of McGrath, which is about 200 miles from Anchorage by air. Or as I tell the teens, 200 miles from the nearest mall by air, you know. Because, you know, it's a long way, but it's where the Lord led me. And I felt very comfortable that I was in his will being there. Remember, God is sovereign, okay? He has control over every detail of the past, the present, and the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows who your next speaker is going to be here, you know, before he was even chosen. That's his sovereignty. And he's sort of like the center of that compass. Several verses I'll just read. You know, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It says right there, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, is God a liar? Is Jesus a liar when you affirm this? No. John 1:1 talks about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus was the Word. He was the Word of God. And John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. By being made flesh, that basically means he became a human being like us and lived like we did in a different environment, different area, but he still lived there. And, you know, like we do. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. This verse refers again to the incarnation. It's where Jesus himself lowered himself to become a man, like I was just saying here. And he would live and die for you and I. He died for us. That's why he came. And he promises, like in Psalm 32:8-9, he says, I will instruct you and lead you in the way, and I will show you the way to go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. So here we see that he's saying it. I'm going to guide my people, you know, my family, any of those of us who know him as a Savior, we're his family. He's going to guide us and give us direction through life. We have to say, as the Israelites did, okay, remember the Israelites, they were there. They got free from Egypt, and they had to walk in the desert, and then they had this light that they followed, the Shekinah glory, we call it, the camp there. And that's just, one of the teachers up there told me that the Shekinah glory that led the people, you know, day and night, you know, in the Exodus from Egypt, that this was basically the Holy Spirit reveal himself so that people could watch him and follow him as they led him around. And eventually, in another situation, remember the star that was hovering over Bethlehem? Well, the people in the east, I was a little confused about that at first. Well, Jesus was born west of, why would the star be said it's in the east? You know, he was born in the west. And I had a, you know, west of there. And I had a real question about it. But as I studied it more, I found out basically the idea there that he was born in Iraq or somewhere around there. Jesus was born actually in Bethlehem in Israel, but the star started there because that's where they directed the wise men to go. You know, and they followed that star, and it wasn't really a star, it was a kind of glory. Again, the visible presence of the Holy Spirit leading these people, these wise men, and there's more than three of them. We're saying we three men, you know, during the Christmas period, but it's more than three of them. We don't have an idea how many went there, but they went, and then they found Jesus because the star hovered over where Jesus was. And that couldn't happen in a normal situation. You know, no, a star doing that, there wouldn't be any more earth left. You know, but that star was the kind of glory, it was the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it led these wise men for 2 years to where Jesus was born. It was like a compass. It showed them the way. And he was born, he was no longer a baby, he was 2 years old. And that would be the first, what we call Gentile worship of Jesus. Okay? First Jewish worship would have been when the shepherds, again, they saw that Shekinah glory when the whole sky was lit up when Jesus was born. You remember that from the Christmas story. And the whole sky was lit up. And they knew where to go. The Lord directed them. They came and they found the baby in a manger. We think it's a cave. And there he was, a little child in this trough, you know, feeding trough for animals. You know, that's where basically he was being laid. And they wrapped them in burial cloths. Back in that day, they used to keep these burial cloths in the cave, so when somebody died, they could wrap them in these burial cloths, okay? And, of course, we know 33 years later, Jesus died, and they wrapped them in these burial cloths. So that was symbolic of the fact that Jesus came to die for us. Another compass here. Jesus came to die. And God's setting things up here, like the compass. Well, let's look at the compass a little bit here. And we'll start with the N. Of course, we know in the compass, the N stands for north. But in the spiritual compass, or God's compass, the N stands for newness, or nearness. The idea that God is near us. He's always with us. He's right here today. We sang that song in his presence, right? A little while ago. He's here. He's in our heart, and he's near to us. Let me read Psalm 73, 23 and 24. Psalm 73, 23 and 24. Excuse me if it takes a minute to get places here. I just have to take a little time. Okay, Psalm chapter 32. And we'll look at that for a minute. 8 and 9. That's where I want to go. 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with thine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in order both bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So, in a sense, again, he's showing us that that's the way he wants us to be, just like that. And Psalm 73, it's a little dark up here, so it takes me a little more time to look for a passage, so I'm sorry about that. All right, 73, 23, and 24. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Note that, continually. You know, we're looking at north. He's continually with us. Thou hast been me well by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. So he promises to guide us throughout our life, and one day lead us to glory. And so we have to kind of say, as the Israelites said, Joshua said it in Joshua 1:16, he says, everything you have comes to us where we're, everything you have is, man, and we will do, and everywhere you send us, we will go. So Moses instructed Joshua after Moses died. Before he died, he instructed him to lead the people and take them. And I'll guide you as you cross the river into the promised land. I'll guide you in different ways. And he promises to do that. So God guides us with his counsel. We get his counsel by getting into his word, you know, and meditating on it and praying on it. You know, meditating, you know, it's one thing just to read something, but when you stop and think, and meditate on it. Well, what's this really mean? You know, you observe, what's it saying? Interpret, what's this mean? And apply, how can I apply this to my life? That's a good way to study the Bible and meditate. Read the passage of the verse and ask you this question. What does it say? What are the facts? What does it mean? What's this whole passage of this verse mean? And then how do you apply this to my life? Because God wants us to apply his word to his to our lives, you know. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. Now he promises that as we get in his word, he's going to give us light and show us what he wants us to do or where he wants us to serve him. He promises to do that in his word. Okay, so that's the end. We look at his north, but we look in the compass and it's nearness. So he kind of has control over the whole compass. And God's always near us. The next one we'll look at is the E. Okay, east. Well, what's that mean? Well, it basically stands for events and circumstances that help lead us. You know, the E on the compass. You know, personal example. When I was deciding about becoming a missionary, by the word, the Lord led me to 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, and I think I shared that last time I was here, where it says, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And that was the passage that I looked at, and through that passage, the Lord said, Russ, I want you to be a missionary. I always had a missionary, I met some missionary kids when I was a teenager and younger, and I guess that's why I've always had a desire to be one day. The one I first met was from Brazil, and we played soccer together, and we just had a good time, and he told me about all this work around Boa Vista, you know, and what they did as a missionary. And that always captivated me. My goal was maybe one day I could go to one of those countries and teach at a missionary kids' school. You know, I never got to do that. First part of my life, I taught at public schools. Then the second part of my career, I was in Christian schools. And so I got both. And I really enjoyed working in the Christian schools. But the Lord, yeah, definitely led me to the field. I visited three countries. You know, well, Alaska is considered a country by some. It's considered overseas. It is, seriously, it really is. And then Spain, and then Peru. And then I spent time on the Navajo Reservation and the Arapaho Reservation there in New Mexico. And that was kind of fun, you know. I was on the res, as we called it there, and I was involved in the camp there and involved in the church in that area as well. But that's where God led me. He didn't want me to stay in Alaska. He had other places for me to go. But as we look at the E here, you know, it helps lead us, and that's what's important here. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard among many men, or many witnesses, same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's the theme of the mission I'm with now, ITE, Internet Theological Education by Extension. What I do is I teach online. And I have students this term from Pakistan, India, Zambia, and Kenya that are in my class. We teach in 1 Peter. And, you know, it's a privilege to do that. I teach them in English because they can speak English, and they, in turn, can teach their own people in their own languages. And that's important that they be able to understand. So that's E, stands for events and circumstances that help lead us. The S, well, that stands for scriptures and salvation. As you read scripture, meditate on what it's saying to you. And let me talk about that. Biblical truth will enlighten us and give us direction. You know, so we study God's word, he'll lead us. It's like a compass. He gives us direction as we look at his word. And as I said before, use the inductive method of Bible study, or Bible reading, observe, interpret, apply. You know, what's it say? What's it mean? How do I apply it to my life? And what I like to do, first of all, is I like to go to the Bible first and get the information from the Bible there. And then, after I've gotten everything I can from the Bible on my own, I'll go to an outside source, maybe another version of the Bible or a commentary or something like that to get some more insight on what I was learning there. And that's what the Lord wants us kind of do, observe, interpret, and apply to our lives. And I call the last one correlate. And here's where, here's where Joshua 1, 8, and 9, I'll turn and read it to you this time. Okay, Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Got a big Bible there, it takes a little time to get places. All right, here we go, Joshua 1, 8, 9. Sorry. And it says this. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, nor neither shall but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do accordingly to all that is written here. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the second part, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. God's with us, folks, wherever we go. You know, as we know him, we move on. So the W represents weighing the options. What are our options here? The Lord wants us to use our hearts and minds to think through decisions and make wise plans. You got some big plans coming up you have to make? Well, go to the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to do this? Or what do you want me to do here? You know, and as you study God's word, you read it, you pray about it, you meditate on it, he'll eventually give you some direction on what to do and how to do it. Proverbs 16:9 says, A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs our steps, just like the compass directs our steps when we're in the woods. The Lord directs our steps as believers. You say, well, what do we need to do that I can get that direct leading from the Lord? Well, the Lord wants you to trust him at all times and trust him as your personal Savior and Lord. You can get saved by recognizing the following facts. It's a very simple way to draw closer to the Lord. One thing is recognize the fact that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and forsworn the glory of God. We've all sinned in God's sight. That's why he came. He came to die for your sins, okay, my sins. That's why he died on that cross. The wages of sin is death, okay? That's another part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it talks about that there. That's the bad news, that we're sinners in God's eyes. But the good news is we can be saved by Christ, okay? When we receive him and receive him as our personal Savior. That's an important step. If you've never done it, I commend you to think about that. It's just a matter of just saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me on the cross. I want you to come into my life and help me to live the life you want me to live. And give me direction like that compass, Lord. Give me direction. Show me the way you want me to go. And if you go where the Lord wants you, it works out pretty well. Because he's a good God. You know that? He's a good God. And he wants us to do these things because it draws us closer. A couple of verses, and I'll wrap it up here. I've got Ephesians 2:8-9, which says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. Can't work your way to heaven, folks. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, not by works, lest any man boast. Works can't send us to heaven. Of course, you all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Note that he gave. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans 5:8 is my favorite verse. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even after we get saved, yeah, he forgives us for our sins, he cleanses us. We still sin, okay? We do things that we shouldn't do. I have my own issues, and everyone here probably has an issue or something that sometimes drags you down a little bit. And what we need to do when that happens, after we ask Jesus to come to life, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Great verse. Keep short accounts. You mess up, Lord, I swore, or I did something else. You know, whatever it might be, please forgive me. And help me get back on track. And again, it goes down to this most important thing in your life, is whether or not you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I would encourage you to do so if you haven't. If you have, praise the Lord, and seek his direction, get in his word. John 6:46 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, notice that, present tense, he that believeth me hath everlasting life. The moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we have everlasting life. We're not going to, you know, die physically, but our body, our soul goes right to be with Jesus. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God is ready to lead you where you've never been before if you let him. Don't be fearful. Move ahead and allow God to take you where he wants you to go. Complete your spiritual compass and go where he wants you to go. And I'll close with this verse. The Lord make firm the steps of one who delight in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fail, fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So God is willing to uphold us, and even though we mess up at times, he's willing to forgive us. So I hope to give you a few things to think about if you never asked Christ in your life. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I believe you died for me. Come and save me. He promises to do that. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's important. Number two, if you are saved, is to get into God's word. Meditate on it, you know. Just like I told you, remember those three points. Observe what to say. You know, interpret. What's it mean? And apply. How can I apply what God told me today in his word to my life? Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak here. I hope it was helpful to some here, and I just pray if there be any here who don't know you, that even today they might trust you as their Savior. And we just pray, Lord, that you bless this church and bless the speakers that come. I guess they only have a few more weeks before they shut down, but just bless them. Be with them at the Sinkspiration tonight. It's a good time to praise the Lord. And I just pray to bless the church and those affiliated with it. And I ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sorry, I stumbled a little bit, but the light's a little dim here. Especially now, if it was a sunny day outside, it'd probably be fine. But the clouds made it a little more. So we have one more song, right?
Yeah.
And let me. And what was it again? What page is it on?
349 in the Methodist hymnal.
349 in the Methodist hymnal.
The Methodist inside
the
pulpit there.
This is it?
It says Methodist on it.
There it is, okay. What is it?
349.
Okay. So why don't we stand and okay, turn your eyes upon Jesus. A great song. Let's sing it like we really mean it.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's do that this week. Let's turn our eyes on Jesus. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to come. I pray for these folks. You bless them in this church and be with them tonight. And we just thank you for your many blessings. And thank you that you are a compass in our lives if we follow what you have for us to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess we are dismissed. Thank you. Did I forget something?
You're good.
Thank you.
Okay.